talent, younger talent?
Not yet. And I think this is part of the trouble. That the replacement has been slow, and as you know, to replace well takes an enormous amount of time and effort.
And it does.
And the institute will, by next fall when I leave, or next spring when I leave, they'll have 4 vacancies. Now that's an enormous number of vacancies. And to, since it takes over the order of a year to get somebody, that means they should really do that. And although I've been telling you, I keep on telling you, but I can't do it for them. I know what to do. But,
now who's head of the institute now?
Yang is still there, and I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know whether I will be in the place. In fact, my feeling is I should not. My feeling is that, as I think of it now, they should have a rotating directorship, and they should have a particularly good administrative person with it, because a good deal of the work you don't need a physicist for.
Yeah.
And it is much better to answer letters, to maintain contact with the granting agencies, to see that we get the proper postdocs, see that they are paid, all of these things. You don't need somebody like myself for that at all. Again, never does it. And so I think he should have his secretary, his Einstein chair, and I'm sure perhaps the secretarial or whatever you call it, the director of the institute.
Yeah.
And that is A, cheaper, and B, you will get more out of it. You will get more out of it. And because the policy decisions, which are taken are very few, they are who do we get, and not everybody will decide anyhow, who are our visitors, and so you don't really need a formal person.
What about Andy Jackson?
He's not in the institute, he's a good nuclear physicist. I would think he is not the top, well, he's very near the top, but he may not be quite the top, but he's very near it, and he's an active person. this is a matter of the organization of the institute, which is a troublesome one. There are theorists who are in the institute, and also theorists outside of the institute. It's not such a good idea, and I think that I would really think we should remove them. At one time there was a quality difference, and that is in part because the people who had come here, let's say before the institute, they were chosen by different criteria, so there were no hard feelings. If, say, Arnie Feingold, who was a fine fellow, but if he was not in the institute, that was fine, because he hasn't done any research in the last 25 years. So this is fun. On the other hand, if you take people like Andy Jackson, or like Phil, or like many others, who are quite good researchers, and who is probably the difference between them and the people in the institute is no longer very clear-cut, if they're at all. They miss certain advantages. For example, people in the institute, with the exception of myself, teach way less. They teach, instead of teaching 2 courses every semester, they typically teach 1 course every other semester. So it's an enormous reduction. I, by the way, always teach because I can do it very easily and because I enjoy doing it. I do it in part because I teach a very high percentage of everything the institute would do. Well, that's something that has to be straightened out. It's all right if you start that way. It's not all right if that becomes a permanent. And that brings us back to Andy Jackson. Andy Jackson, in terms of his abilities, might easily be in the institute, might even be the administrator to some. But I think when I do this, if he gets in, then you have to also have Tom Crow and many other persons. And Tom K-U-O, Crow.
Crow.
Yeah, he's there. It's no longer up to me, since, as I said, this is, you know, nobody likes anything. Last year you say there's an inherited set of policies which they have to follow. No one's going to pay any attention to that anyhow. So I just stay out of it, although I think it is not always wise.
Well, I think that there's one piece of unfinished business that I would like to see them tackle, and that is the scattering of the humanities all over the campus.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody seems to be able to convince Albany that something should be done about it, or believe that something should be done about it. You have philosophy and old physics. Religion is now with comparative literature and chemistry. You have the languages here. You have English.
Way over the other world.
And you have history, which is really, I think, part of the humanities. Over with the social sciences.
Yeah. Well, I think, isn't there now a director of a humanities institute?
He is Don Eide, a philosopher,
yes,
whose field is phenomenology. And the chairman or the director of the institute is somebody whose specialty is television, radio communication.
I see. I met her. She's a feeling.
It's a she.
Yeah, I met her. Yes, no, I agree. And I think, because the humanities here have, for many years, have had a severe identity crisis. They are, they never really developed they never really gelled into a strong scholarly or intellectual community. And about all they could agree on is that civics is treated too well. And I think that's very bad. Because it is, because as you know, anger and some of cities are very negative things, and they keep you from doing things which you ought to be doing yourself.
Right. Well, Max, thanks very much.
Okay.
And if you have files, when you read, don't throw them out.
Okay, no, I have lots of, in fact, I will have to start looking at them right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Because I have many files.
And let Avert Focus have them in special collections on the second floor here in the library.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
You still play tennis?
Oh, sure. Yeah.